back to the Real Soul Family podcast. We've got a special episode today. We are joined by James, owner of Sefton Fashion, and, well, sorry, co-owner, if I can take you down a notch. Yeah. And then also owner of creative agency, Two Times Elliot. His dog, Poppy. And then sat next to him, we've got the man, Sneakers John. And beside me, I've got my very good friend, Air Max London. Tom or Thomas?
Oh, that close.
Thomas. Okay, so I think we just wanted to... Thanks for coming down.
You're welcome.
We just wanted to bring you in to sort of have a chat. Today we're running our competition that is raffling off five pairs, the five lucky winners, based off of a creative competition that we've done where you would design your own London Air Max ones. So how do you think this has gone?
People definitely like colour. I think it's great to see how many people got involved.
Yeah.
When we first were discussing ideas, we didn't know how difficult it would be for someone to download a template, to actually create it. You know, when we were trying to download it, you on your Android phone,
Thomas,
you couldn't even download
it.
Yeah. He used crayons.
Yeah.
I just think it's quite nice to see just a variation of different designs and just how people, different people respond to what London means to them. If I'd entered, mine would have just been monochrome. And I wouldn't have won, but that's just me.
I think that's because a lot, it might be a bit of a rebuttal to a lot of the London releases are typically very grey, very black. Mm-hmm. And they talk about, I feel like a lot of the time they're done by people who aren't as close to London in the actual design studio.
Mm-hmm.
I know, Thomas, you've brought some London Air Max with you. So do you want to walk us through them or?
Okay. Well, I start at the beginning, eh?
I love these so much.
Air Max 1, Ben Drury, Hold Tight. 2006, Ben Drury. I don't know much about him, but he is a London-based designer. I haven't followed his work that much over the years, but they gave him the honour of creating this. So I think he went with, these are the sound waves for the city. You've got the 3M there. And inside you've got the Mars Tower.
Yeah, yeah. These are pretty much black, white, monochrome. Is this something that you'd be on board with in terms of a London pair?
I'm not a massive fan of them aesthetically, to be honest with you.
Right.
But I'm not really a big Air Max 1 fan.
No.
But I do like the back.
Yeah.
And I also like the materials on it. Are they able to be worn still?
Yeah, they crack. The 3M does crack over time.
I think these are okay.
I absolutely love those. I had those and someone stole them from by my door. They were like in my hallway and I don't know who, but somebody stole those from me.
But the heel on this, the reason this has gone down as one of the sort of the best heels on Air Max 1s ever. And I think it's kind of those special releases end up with the sort of heel designs.
Yeah.
Of course, we've got the upcoming London Air Max 1 releasing on the 19th of March. And that has a heel design. We've got a nice sort of Thames River flowing through. I don't think any of us can reach it.
But
I'm sure there'll be plenty of photos, and you've already seen the pair, I'm guessing, in some capacity. So, in terms of this for monochrome, what do you think?
It's hard. I haven't been a massive fan of the Air Max 1s for years. Mm. I'm talking about going back to the days where the chlorophylls came out. I liked them then. Now, to me, they just seem quite bulky. I think they've got a special connection to people. I think people want them because of the connection to London. I actually think the material, the kind of like the pairing of the materials is really interesting.
Mm.
I don't know, there's something about the midsole to me that feels really thick.
It's definitely got some squish to it.
I do think they've missed a trick. I don't think there's enough detailing on it.
That's my feeling with them.
I think that there's like a spike on the other side, which I tried to ask people what they thought it was. And I don't know if it's the shard.
I think a lot of people were saying
the shard.
Yes. I didn't notice it before I actually got them.
So that's one of my favourite details on it. But if it is for the shard, I feel like they should have done a second layer, a second layer of stitching that's kind of make it more 3D.
Because it's not...
It can only
that's
be
a
the
spike.
Yeah,
whereas
it's not
the shard also, it kind of... I mean, it's a shard. It's got that jagged sort of top.
So it's lazy, if that is what the reference is.
They do look better when they're relaced.
Yeah.
That's like just straight from the box.
No, I didn't realise they've actually got suede on the inside here. Whereas I thought this was more that sort of uncomfortable, like cotton.
Mm.
Have you worn these yet?
No, because they are one of the pairs for the competition.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, this specific pair will be one of the ones being given away.
I don't ever get allocation from our store. Yeah. So we don't ever take, staff don't take pairs.
Yeah.
It's quite a big thing to us.
Nice.
Given that as a neighbourhood store, our allocation's quite small.
Mm.
We only think it's fair that other people get them. And then I just...
If only more stores were like you guys.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
No back doors.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think with the larger stores, they often do like a staff raffle. I wouldn't expect them to be giving it to every single person.
Yeah, for real.
Though, I mean, I've seen some I've seen some places where they have they seem to have everything. No, and it's really good. And I think what we're doing here is something that's definitely helping people recognise, well, who the real Soul Family are and definitely who Sefton Fashion are.
So I'm pretty confident, I would say, that if you had these designed up, the majority of people who like that, the current Air Max one, your new London, would prefer the designs that our guys have done.
Yeah, I think some of them are much just more interesting.
Yeah.
I just think the materials are a little bit of a letdown on there, especially on, I don't know the technical term, around where the footliner is, on the mesh kind of material.
Yeah.
I just feel like it feels really thick. If you compare it to the back of the one next to it on its left.
Can we get it?
Yeah, it's much higher.
Yeah, but it's also a lot thinner. Look how much thicker it is now.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't look like it. That'd even be very comfortable, to be honest. Because that looks like it would dig in.
It feels a bit more like the Air Max.
Yeah, just
the Air Max Deluxe.
That's like the anniversary releases were like that. There's a lot of pairs that are quite thick around the ankle.
Mm.
I mean, it's
but that
not
should
fair
be
to judge
more comfortable, right? I mean, I've been... we've been inundated with people who are definitely after these. I think they're kind of one of those shoes that will be able to go with everything.
But do you feel like part of that hype is down to the fact that they're capitalizing on the London
Dunk? The London Dunk.
Which London thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, let that be. This feels like a lazy... If anyone defaults to doing a show about London and just goes, oh, I'll make it grey, that for me is the most lazy thing you could possibly
do. Do you think that's the reason, though? Do you think that's grey because everyone says London is grey?
Yeah, I think they just couldn't be bothered to do anything else. They've gone for blue with the Thames and grey for London.
But have they given that as like a statement as what this shoe's about? Because for me, I didn't even think about that.
No.
I didn't think about London as being like... Unless you're talking about the buildings and the structures.
Yeah. Well, the buildings are grey, the floors are grey, but the sky is also grey.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that's why I was talking earlier with someone and there's what? Four shades,
50 shades of grey, the shoe.
I don't think that's the inspiration.
It's a bit more interesting than grey. One shoe.
But yeah, no, people are really happy with these. I know some of us in the room might be a bit more downtrodden towards them, but...
I don't think they're terrible. I just think if they were GRs, they wouldn't sell out, is my personal feeling.
But if you've then also got the opposite end of the spectrum, you've got the London Underground, the Roundel pack.
Those.
Yeah, so you like this.
Yeah, that's a classic.
So they're different. So they're similar to these ones, to the new ones, in terms of look at the shape of the back.
In terms of shape?
Yeah.
The midsole is the same. It's flat, but quite thick. But if you compare it to the ones next to it, they seem a lot more streamlined. It might also be the stark white of them, to be fair.
I love these a lot more. Simply because it's a lot more colourful. It speaks to a very specific part of London that I feel a lot of people were kind of familiar with.
Do you prefer those over the 90s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
I do love the 90s, though. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I prefer the 90s. Just because I don't know.
It's the white swoosh on the 90s I preferred.
Yeah. But there is actually a sample pair of those floating about. And because I'm a sample size, I get to see them a lot more. But they have the Air Max one with the white swoosh.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
I'd love that.
The black swoosh is the sample.
On the 90s?
This is the blacks.
On the ones?
The 90. The 90's got a white swoosh. The sample has a black swoosh.
Oh,
right.
Sweet.
But this is the release pair, though, right?
That's a release pair. There isn't a sample one that I've seen. But the sample 90... has a black swoosh.
I mean, he's calling me out, but let's see. I mean, hopefully.
He's called Air Max London. I'm not sure if I want to...
I'm not going to debate it.
I'm not going to back you if you're going up against it.
There's a pair on eBay as a bundle going for the price of a car.
Well, so the 90s and the ones together.
A good car or a first car?
Or a toy car.
My Renault Clio 2002 from when I started driving.
Near $2,000.
Okay.
But someone's trying to sell a pair of the ones, a pair of the 90s, the sample 90s, and the DS London Underground T, which I have.
The whole pack.
And they want...
Do you get stickers as well?
My stickers in my box. I believe
Mine's still on my box.
Do you get the chair from the tube with it?
No.
No.
Imagine.
That is extra.
They'd be stained.
Oh, yeah, I don't even know if I'd let that in my house.
Well, you definitely don't want them now.
No.
No. Probably not to talk about.
I think we just wanted to sort of talk a bit about your journey with Sefton.
Yeah.
Sort of how that came to be.
It's making too much noise. It's took her collar off. Yeah.
So, sort of, how did this actually begin?
So, I've run a design studio for the last 10 years in a variety of different areas. And I used to be in Islington. And it was the only store kind of around that area that did some interesting stuff. They stocked brands, certain brands that we don't stock anymore, so I'm not even allowed to talk about them. Mm. But certain brands that I couldn't get anywhere else but having to go further into Shoreditch. And at that time, on my lunch break, you didn't really want to go down to Shoreditch. It was too far. So I just ended up going in there, making friends with the guys who worked there, then the owner, who's my business partner called Ben. And it was just apparent to me that the store had so much potential, but it was limited by resource. And as well, I don't know if anyone here has a small business, but when you're trying to cover so many bases, things do drop off.
Spread yourself too thin.
Way too thin. And so, as I said, I made friends with the guys in there, said to them, you know, I'd love to do something with the store. And it just kind of like snowballed from there. I was really interested in what they were doing. I decided to rebrand the store kind of as a favor, which was a costly exercise. Then from there, it was a case of we wanted to continue our relationship, but they unfortunately couldn't afford to keep us as a studio on. The fees were just too high. So they asked if I wanted to join forces with them. I ended up becoming one of the co-owners. And it's just kind of gone from there. And since we joined, we've completely changed the structure of the people who work there, changed the buy completely. So come summer, there's a completely different directional buy. Unfortunately, the area that we're in has changed due to rising prices of homes and stuff like that. Because it's opened in 99, so it's been there 20 years.
Crazy.
Yeah. But it's about kind of trying to invite a wider footfall of people in and potentially using the space slightly more as a concept space. So over the next few weeks, there's a lot of different artist workshops that we're working on to physically bring people down. So in a nutshell, that's kind of how it happened.
Okay. What is something that you'd want people to know about Sefton?
Well, a big thing is the fact that obviously remaining independent.
Mm-hmm.
We only have one store. We're doing our best to try and get all of the stuff that people want and the releases that we want. And we get messages all the time, are you getting this? Are you getting that? Unfortunately, I'm sure, I don't know how much you guys know about it, but it's all done on tier systems. And a lot of that's down to how much you engage with your community. And Nike's really good with that. They embrace and encourage us to do more with the community. And that's definitely something that you'll see a big change on, which is why I spoke with you in the first place. But for us, community is a really big thing. It's something that I've brought into my design studio over the last 10 years, ensuring that we don't have any barriers to entry. One thing that we do as a design studio once a month is to give everyone in our studio who are from a variety of different places an opportunity to select a business that's from within their community and then give them access to us as a studio without a cost associated with it. I think one thing, especially with design, and I don't know, I actually don't know what you guys do in your normal jobs,
but we can introduce ourselves.
Yeah, that would be good. But there is actually in the design industry, a lot of young designers can't get into the industry because they're told you need a year's experience, you need to be doing this, that, and the other. For me, experience isn't necessarily the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's about coming with your ideas, being confident in yourself, and don't try to, I suppose, what's the word? Like give in to what you think your employer wants.
Don't
compromise on your style. The correct employer will embrace what you do and help you become more commercialized. And that's something for me that's always been really important.
It's amazing you guys have that open door.
I think it's due to the fact that my experience was I never got that. So by doing that and opening the door, being a lot more vocal, something that we haven't really done in terms of outwardly being vocal for the last 10 years, I think it's just a really important thing to do. Is we are people at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Don't feel afraid that you can come and knock on it. Well, don't knock on the door.
but camping outside.
Shooting
well, we had it the other day. Someone just turned up in the studio from Italy.
Yeah.
probably not the best country right now, but yeah. They turned out from Italy.
Did you quarantine him?
It was she, but she turned up, and unfortunately we're just too busy. That's the other side of it, is it's really, you'd love to be able to give on someone complete opportunity in terms of being able to just come in and speak with you, but it doesn't always work out like that. So we are doing structured events. They're going to be happening over this year. We've got 45 different events.
Oh my God.
It's amazing. Yeah. I was just about to ask you, because as a lot of retailers are facing different challenges, with the way the environment is changing, with the way that people's habits in terms of shopping are changing, what other things are you guys doing to really help yourself stand out?
Well, so what I was just saying was more so to do with the design agency, but it's hard. I think a lot of the time, and what we are trying to do is work a lot more with younger creatives. So the photographers we're using who help us to shoot are younger photographers who are trying to get their name out there, the importance of trying to create a lot more online ownable content. A lot of these things are starting to happen. We've brought in a lot of contractors and freelancers. And I think one thing that's, again, really important to us as a business is just working with those who are around you. It's not always about just having the most exclusive trainers. You could just do something a lot more interesting of how you engage with your community on that. And I think there's a friend of mine, Jonathan Lee. I don't know if any of you know him, but he does a lot of stuff at Selfridges.
Oh, Mr. Lee lives.
Yeah. I know. And I think what he's doing is really great.
His art is insane.
Oh, he did your box. Yeah, he's a really nice guy.
If you guys want to check out his work, his Instagram is Mr. Lee Lives.
Yeah, he's
his
amazing.
His work is insane.
Zim put that up.
Yeah, he's amazing.
I was just going to ask, so you're talking about having an open door policy and no barrier to entry. What do you kind of think?
To a point.
Well, to an extent. Don't knock on the door.
Yeah.
What would you actually say to somebody who was, you know, just trying to get their first step up that ladder
within the design industry?
Yeah.
I always tend to see, especially from university, and I think when I studied, I didn't have Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really use the internet, to be honest. Yeah. I didn't use the internet for any referencing. I was in the library. I was buying books.
Magazines.
Yeah, everything. My studio is just still full of books and magazines, and I encourage my designers to not get on the computer till the last possible moment. I think a lot of the time, a lot of people are really concerned about creating a portfolio that is ticking the boxes of what you think that studio wants. Stick with what you are good at. Stick with your style. And the right employer will embrace that. I think the other side of it is, don't write long emails that say, we make great coffee. Like, that's
right.
It's the best work that we ever see tends to come with the best covering letter, which says, please find enclosed for your consideration. Don't try too hard. Like, if your work's interesting enough, then we will reach out to you.
Yeah.
I think, but it's impossible to reach out to everybody.
That's a really good tip, though, because a lot of people do wonder how to get in touch, and then if they do get hold of an email, they think they have to go over the top to reach out and sell themselves.
Don't CC in every other person into that email as well, because that's pretty bad.
Yeah. Or do at Mr. and then...
Yeah, it's normally when they've copied and pasted the email and my name's in blue and the rest of the email's in black. And you know that they've copied and pasted it.
I've had a number of recruiter emails that are a bit like that. I've been called the wrong name a few times.
Yeah.
It's not the best.
No. I mean, even though you're not Leon Avery.
Yeah, I'm not Leon Avery.
Yeah, I come from a photography, marketing and video background. Mm-hmm. So similar thing when I've had younger people approach me and ask how to get into it.
Are you freelance?
No, I work for a different company.
Okay.
A tech company at the moment.
Well, that's a big topic of conversation, freelance, but it's going to take way longer than half an hour.
It is really tough.
It's going to change because of all the new tax rules.
Indeed.
So, yeah, that's...
But the point I was trying to touch on was that your advice about kind of just showing your work, finding good ways to showcase that instead of being verbose and...
trying to
long
hard.
Emails. We don't have the time. Honestly, I just don't have the time to read a long email.
The other side is, I think university set you up to design in a certain way. But I was really lucky, again, at university that they put us in front of commercial clients. Every project we did was live. So we had the opportunity to present to Virgin, Orange at the time, who I don't think they exist anymore. I don't know who they are now.
Oh,
right, okay. So, yeah.
T-Mobile.
And I just had the chance to actually get real life feedback. And I don't think university set you up for that. It's something, again, that we've identified in the studio and are going to do within our workshops, is the opportunity for them to present directly to our clients and get feedback specifically. I think real honest feedback, as opposed to the colour's wrong. Let's not get into the colours and typefaces. But that kind of thing, getting actual feedback due to commerciality of what you're designing is hugely important, and I don't think the education system does enough of it.
Do you mean in terms of understanding the target audience?
Yeah, so for example, a lot of designers will design based upon what they see is getting the most traction on social. So they will see a trend and they will try and emulate that trend. And it's kind of, I suppose, the same thing kind of within the sneaker world, is that someone will see something and then they'll all go out and buy the same thing.
Yeah.
Is that it's not necessary. Like, you don't have to do it in that way. Actually understanding what the end goal, where that's going to sit, who your client is, what their targets of their business are, all of those things are what you should consider when you're designing. It's not just about creating something that looks nice.
Yeah. I think, so I work in search advertising. So it's the polar opposite of creative. but when I was first starting out, I really liked the idea of potentially going into a creative field. Mm-hmm. You've seen my amazing Air Max One design. No, but I just kind of...
I'm not so sure it was amazing.
I have always felt I'm a fairly creative person, but I didn't want to go into a field where I would have to argue with like a superior over what's good or not for like in something that's completely subjective, at least I feel. So what you were saying about how basically making something that you think looks good rather than what you think someone else will think looks good.
That's always hard when you are like a creative director, because the other side is you don't want to just simply instill your vision directly on your team, because as soon as you do that, they don't develop, they don't make the mistakes. So for me, I allow my designers to go as far as they possibly can. And for me, it's about injecting that commerciality, understanding the kind of strategic needs of that client.
Mm.
So I think that, yeah, I agree with you. Like, good is such a subjective word.
Yeah.
There's so many words that are used in the sneaker community. One of them I can't stand, but everyone does it.
What is it?
Fire. It's like...
I thought it was hype when we were on the phone before.
Well, we're not going to talk about hype, because I can't really talk with some of the stuff that I've got, but that wasn't bought for that reason.
Oh, let's talk through some of the kicks that you brought down.
Oh, I can't swear, can I?
You brought down some shoes that...
Just don't drop the C word, I guess.
You brought down some shoes that are kind of... They are hype-ish.
Well, you say that. I think they became more hype.
Do you know, actually, can I tell you something really embarrassing?
No.
I used to call... What are those?
What are those?
Triple S.
No, I mean, what's the brand?
Balenciaga.
I used to call them Balagentias.
Yeah, but my mate thinks it's Balenciaga, so that's all. That's probably better. Yeah. Thanks, man.
Balenciaga, I love that. Yeah.
So that specific pair, that's actually, is this the rarer colorway that you were talking about?
They're super rare.
Yeah.
So I managed to get hold of these due to some nice friends. but for me, a lot of my aesthetic choices are not necessarily around hype, albeit that you may look at these and think that that is the case. But for me, it's much more about the materiality, the combination of the colours, and even going down to who actually physically designed it. So for me, with the industry that I work in, I'm really interested in the actual designers who had a process within here. Yeah, so whilst these, look, we know these aren't the best looking shoe.
Don't fall.
They go with some of your hats, though. But I'm gonna
I can sorry. Match them with something.
It's a nice colour combo.
But I like it because of like the colour, and I like it as an object. Whether I'd wear them is another thing completely. I don't think I can actually wear these anymore because they are too heavy. But they did change the shoe to being produced in China, made them more expensive, made them lighter, but the quality control is useless. So on the original pairs, these were all hand... distressed.
Oh, distressed.
Yeah. Amazing. So I like these, but I like them more so because of the colorway and less so because all of a sudden people wanted them because of the hype of Balenciaga. I just find them quite an interesting shoe. Now, as someone who I can see, these would not be your kind of shoe. Have you ever looked at them that closely?
He's been shaking his head the whole time we've been talking about.
But have you ever looked at them closely? So forget Thomas what they look like for a minute and have a look at them more so as an object. As an object, as I said, forget comfort, because actually they're a lot more comfortable than you think they are. But for me, I like them because they're trying to do something different.
I always felt like if you were trying to convince somebody of the merit of Balenciaga...
we can't talk about this era then. You're going to have to go way back.
Well, I guess a lot of people won't have taken much notice until they had like the Arenas or other shoes like that, right?
Yeah, that was the death.
I'm a big fan of the Track 2s. I think if you're going for that bulky silhouette...
Take my shoe off now.
You do, I guess. Whereas I feel like this... I really love these, and I've got my own pair of these. Everybody hates them, right?
I think this colorway is the least offensive.
Yeah, yeah.
The Track 2s are interesting from a design perspective.
Of course.
Like you said, as an object, I do like the look of them.
Mm.
I definitely wouldn't wear them.
This is something like...
If I was dead and someone put them on my foot, I'd take them off.
It's like 140...
If you were dead.
Yeah.
Okay, so what about...
Just to take them off.
So recently, they released the... Have you seen the Reeboks DMX Trails?
Yeah.
Right, which are similar.
They've definitely taken note.
So... Out of interest, if these were not the price point that they were, and potentially had a Nike swoosh on them, and you didn't have your embargo of a year's ban of trainers, would you consider them? Is it the price point that puts you off?
No, I think it's ultimately...
Well, not you, but...
I think it's the width of the shoe.
I like the design of the shoes anyway.
Yeah.
I buy a designer pair every year for my birthday.
Yeah. Do you think a lot of it comes down to style, though? So for me, the way in which I dress... A lot of people, when I wear them, they don't even notice how irregular they look.
You need a wide cut bottom half, really.
Why are they so wide?
If you rock up wearing like leggings.
Well, yeah, Thomas, what's your
verdict? Mean clothing?
Yeah.
Oh, no. like, the colourway on that shoe is really nice.
It's IKEA.
It looks like it's really well made.
They really are well made.
That one's looking like a platform shoe, so I can't really be getting into it.
You never rocked a Buffalo back in the day.
No. why are Balenciaga shoes so wide?
But it's not just them.
And then if you go on to this shoe looks okay, but it's like a cross between some sort of shoe that's collaborated with the Transformers for your kids, with a dad shoe, with like something you go swimming in.
I always take that as like positive reinforcement, yeah. Right? It's like every time somebody tells me they don't like something, I like it more.
It's a bit weird.
That's cheers, actually man. Comprised of something like 140 individual panels.
You see, as a design object,
yeah.
And I look at it more as an object than a shoe, I understand the kind of the process and the thought that's gone into it.
Mm.
Now, once this became seen on everyone from The Only Way Is Essex and stuff like that, I lost interest in them. For me, they were buying it because of the brand name. I know that I've got it on my hat, but they were buying it more so because of the brand name, and less so because of the fact that as an object, it was quite different to anything else that was going out there. And for me, that's why I liked it. It wasn't necessarily just because of the fact that I didn't think a lot of people would be able to get access to it. I genuinely liked it, and that's the reason why I buy it. Mm. There's a lot of raffles that go on that I just won't enter because I don't like the shoes. So whilst there is a lot of stuff here that you would say potentially has that hype value, it's not really of interest to me.
While we talk about shoes as an object or an art piece,
yeah.
And we talk about it with regards to these fashion house brands, what are your thoughts on the more frequent collaborations between these high fashion brands and the lifestyle brands like Nike or Adidas? You've got your Prada Adidas. You've got the Sakai Nike has exploded.
But the Sakai Nike is different because they've priced it at the point of where the other Nike releases sit.
Sure.
What they've done with the Dior Jordan, which I have seen, it's just not worth that price point.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So to make it £2,000,
yeah.
I think it's £2,000.
Is that
pounds.
A confirmed price? Because I don't think it's been confirmed.
$1,800 as well.
I mean, it's $2,000.
It's actually $2,500.
Oh,
either way,
and
it's
the
ridiculous.
The lows are different to the highs as well. The shape is different. The shape on the lows is wider.
Yeah.
To be honest, even if I had the money to spend it, I wouldn't do it.
Right.
Because for me, the reason why I like this is because it's on a different silhouette. If I was going to take a shoe... That was, and before you say this is a Converse, besides that, is the fact that you still got Jordan 1 and you're doing it 20 times the price.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, they haven't done anything particularly.
I find it interesting, like the Adidas Prada collaboration. That's great, fine. They've collaborated on it, but they haven't done anything that justifies the price point. I think you can buy a bag with it.
It comes with the bag, which I'm guessing is where the bulk of that retail price point comes in.
Have any of you actually seen them? Are they made of a better leather?
I've seen the bag. The bag's leather. It's pretty nice. It's a bowling bag.
It's definitely.
I don't really know what the RRP of a bag from
Carter
is. It's
definitely not worth the price that they're asking for it.
Yeah, but I think retail that was 2,000.
If you go bowling.
But it was in line with the fact that they're doing more with the superstar again now.
Yeah.
But I just don't think they did anything that interesting.
Oh, God, don't let me get the anniversary wrong. What year is it? This
Superstars?
Yeah. It's like 35th or something.
Well, they're definitely 80s. 30th.
40.
40. They're not 80s?
I don't know. Yeah, look, we'll correct that. But
it's like 80. I don't want to say I'm
I think it might be 40.
We've got Chip, who's just screaming at
Chip
the telly
screaming
right
at me,
now.
But I remember the 35th anniversary was the ones I was wearing last time, and that was from 2015.
Oh, sure.
So I think it must
okay,
be 40.
Okay, must be 40 then. But yeah, I guess there's probably a few more examples.
What about Off-White?
Yeah, Off-White, I mean, that's a whole different ballpark, right? Because that's more in line with the Sakai stuff. And I feel like Virgil's focus on that line has really changed over the last 3 years that he's been working on it.
Mm.
Whereas before, I feel like it was a lot more conservative and he didn't want to change too much because, I mean, he still wanted it to be accessible and he still wanted people to like it and not disrespect the silhouettes. Whereas now you kind of move to his stuff where it's much more in line with Off-White.
Hmm.
You've got shoes with holes in them.
What do you mean, you got Kygas and all that sort of stuff?
Well, yeah, I feel like Jordan, it's a lot more experimental. And I feel like there's been these two eras of Off-White Nike. Whereas the first line was more mainstream appeal, but now it's kind of, he's got this excuse to just do however he feels.
Just to print money, mate.
Yeah. But, I mean, what do you think about the whole collaboration in general?
Mm. Well, I like it. I like some of the shoes.
You've got one on
I've got
the table.
I've got three of them. I've got the original Jordans. I've got the red pair, the Chicagos, but I've never worn them.
Mm.
I've got the 97s, which to me I thought were the best ones, but the white ones.
The original, the ghost thing. Yeah.
I do like the Serena ones.
They're pretty nice.
Okay.
Yeah, but I just don't know how I'd wear them. I find the 97s are slightly too streamlined for what I wear now. It's an interesting topic of conversation because I believe you were speaking about insurance the other
day. Yes, we were talking with Franklin about it.
There I am in the kind of the motions of trying to set something up that protects you against resale value as well.
How's that going?
Slowly. I'm doing it with a relatively well-known investment bank.
Okay. We're looking for sponsorship.
Well, cool.
But I mean, what kind of questions are you having to get answered in that process?
A lot. How do you quantify it? Have people sold them already? Like, there's a lot of things, because in insurance, how do they know? If you're saying to me, you've got a pair of these,
yeah,
right, and you're saying that the value today is £20 and then tomorrow is £25, is how do you then monitor the fluctuating costs on a daily basis and then adjust your premiums?
Yeah.
That's a really difficult thing.
I guess like the day they get stolen, how much were they worth that day?
Well, exactly. But how do they know that you haven't already sold them? And then true, they're trying to, well, that's the same with any insurance.
Yeah.
But on the other side of it, I guess it's a very complicated beast, because if you're dealing with a car, you buy the car for a certain value and you know year on year that's going to depreciate by a certain amount unless it's like an old car. This is a constant moving thing, so it's a little bit harder. We will get there, but it's going to take a while. There may be certain people who help me out by giving me a month in advance and saying what it is, and I reserve them. So I will go and collect the whole lot in one go.
Yeah.
So I actually did win the Sakais.
Yeah.
I have seen a lot of pictures of them. I'm not entirely sure. Do you want this closer to my mouth? Is that I'm not sure that I'm as convinced by them as I was with the other ones. I really wanted the wolf grey ones.
Yeah, those are good.
And I wanted the black and white ones, which I didn't get. But these two I'm not so sold on. I did get both the Dunks as well.
Yeah.
The orange and the blue ones. But yeah, it's a bit of a problem because I'm running out of space. My dog is now eating the toys from the set.
I know. It's not my shoes. James. I don't mind.
What is she? She's eating one of your toys.
Oh, it's all falling apart. Yeah.
She's been really well behaved up to this point.
One of eight.
So I think just to wrap up, I just wanted to quickly talk about what's coming up. So in the next couple of weeks, right? So it's with Air Max Day. So
it might be tomorrow by the time you actually watch
well,
this.
Well, I mean, mate, I think we're aiming to get this out on the following Tuesday. Yep. But I think it's... Last year, they didn't really do anything for Air Max
Day. Last year's Air Max Day.
They made a...
Didn't they do a scavenger hunt? Or
what
scratch
was that, the run around London?
No, yeah. that was Sneakers Day.
That was Sneakers Day.
Which is in August. So the last Air Max Day was specifically about... It was something about... They didn't do anything. It was all like... It was all like charity based, which basically meant nothing to the consumer. Whereas this year they've realised that that.
that where's my trainers?
Soulless.
they've realised that that was kind of.
Yeah, hold on. Wasn't it on air?
Yeah.
Was that Souls, last year or the year before?
Yeah, Tokyo Mazes.
Yeah, that was last year.
It wasn't on the actual date, was it?
No. It was around it.
I didn't. Yeah, no, I didn't think it was. No, it wasn't. That wasn't specifically for Air Max. That was just in. Look, I'm fighting the audience now. But essentially, boiling down to what's coming up in the next couple of weeks. So we've got plenty of rumors around. I think the duck camos have been announced now.
Yeah, they're coming. So, yeah, I'm not impressed.
Yeah,
the shape doesn't work. I feel like they should have just done them as a retro.
I like them. No. Look, this is the whole thing that they we talked
just
about.
Let it lie and move on.
Or just not done them.
But there's a lot of
people are responding really positively to it.
I like them. I
don't like the colour of the red.
Want the original ones. Yeah. We'll never have them, including me. And they're not that bad if you really want duck camels, are they?
Do you not think that the replacement of the suede to a mesh... doesn't look good enough. They don't look premium anymore.
It's not cutting.
No, that's
they
very
look
true.
Like an ID version for me.
Yeah.
They don't look good enough.
I'm interested to see what the actual material of the camo is, because this is like a brush suede.
Well, it looks like a leather.
In fairness, a few years ago, what they brought out the Air Max 1 Safari, retroed that for Air Max Day, and they cocked up the toe box on that, didn't they?
These were the 2018s, yeah. Because I've got them and I wasn't too...
18? No. 17 or 16.
No, it's 2018.
Is it?
Yeah, it's 2018.
Nah, it won't.
So the Air Max 1 Safaris.
I'm fighting back now because you made me look like a fool earlier
samples. Because I bought them at resale.
Yeah, trust me, it was 2018.
Too big, and I've since sold them. And there's no way that was just a year and a half ago.
It was 2018. Right, I'm getting my phone out. If you guys want to talk amongst yourselves.
Get it out. Avery's about to...
What else have you seen for Air Max Day then that you're not impressed?
We've got the metallic 90s. Have you seen? They've released the liquid... pack.
Yeah, there's like a bronze medal kind of pack.
Yeah, so they've done a chrome
didn't they
gold.
Do that before?
No, it wasn't.
Chrome silver and chrome bronze.
But they've already, haven't they done that before?
They've done it, they're on the Air Forces now. They had that originally on the Air Max 1s, which released and sold out straight away.
Air Max 1 animal return in 2018 for another walk on the wild side.
I said Safari.
Well, they're both called Safari.
No, they're not. It's called animal.
You just said it.
Whatever. Okay, we
Poor Leon. He wasn't
like
around
said,
when the originals came
missed
out.
Like I said, if you're going to go up against Air Max London, I'm not going to back you.
No.
I'm just not.
We just meant this different things. Where on earth were we?
We were talking about they've re-released, or they're releasing the Air Max 90 in like a trio of like
the
patent,
ones.
Yeah, right. Patent bronze, gold, silver, bronze, and bronze on a 90 on the recraw, on the new.
If that had been on the old shape, I would have loved that. But on the new shape, I'm not interested.
With this particular one, I can't see a huge difference because it's so reflective. You can't really notice anything
else.
They're
very female centric, right? I believe.
Is this the first time they've done a liquid on the 90?
It's the first time.
So at the moment, they've got the Air Forces out now.
It is?
Because obviously you've got the one that's really old.
The one sold out straight away and then
the one
resold
amazing.
For a fortune.
Yeah.
Then now they've still got the Air Force
Air
ones
Forces.
Out now.
But they're still sitting in shelves.
They're on sale.
Yeah, I saw them the other day.
Yeah.
And then the 90s are coming out. And then obviously there's the 2090, the new silhouette, which I don't
think
anyone's seen it in hand.
I'm not impressed. It looks silly.
But I kind of... Yeah, but then again, we say that. And then when the Vapor Max first came out, everyone thought they were weird as well. I can't stand those.
Do.
I don't like
the
270s.
Vapor Max came out, it was amazing.
Really?
Yeah, I thought, wow, look at that.
You mean the Vapor Max 1? The original
Vapor
Max 1 was
great.
It was
amazing.
They
looked like Goofy's
teeth.
They look like washing liquid tabs, were they?
Yeah, a bit like that. I never had a pair.
I did, but I gave them away in the end.
But I just thought they looked amazing.
I think the 2090s are going to do really, really well. I think they look a lot more like the 720s, which...
What do you think of the 720s?
I like 720s.
With the big air bubble. I got one pair when they first came
out.
They're
weird to walk in.
Yeah, I got the sun... It's like a sunrise kind of colourway, orange to black.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And I haven't worn them.
I did the Heron Preston collab. in Milan.
I kind of wanted those.
I follow the designers. So
yeah,
that was
I like those.
Made me want those.
But the what about the? Because then they did the 270s. Everyone bought them. Every time I go to the gym, I see people wearing 270s. I can't stand them either. It's
probably their most popular shoe from last year.
Yeah, it's one of those shoes that have a massive mainstream appeal, which is why I think the 2090 is going to do really well. Because you can then just hit it with marketing and then it becomes the next big thing.
Well, there are a number of like other shoes that are getting additional colorways, like the Daybreaks and stuff like that, which I really like the Daybreaks.
Yeah.
They're quite understated. They're quite an easy shoe to wear. I really like the Daybreak collab that they did. Was it with Neighborhood? Was it Undercover?
I think
Undercover.
The
weird thing on the back that Nike have now tried to use on the back of that 90.
The Flyies.
Oh, God.
I love them.
So well, the new ones.
I saw
Fallon wearing those.
That's an age thing, Leon.
I'm in the Air Max 90 enthusiast group. Shout out Nathan. But people,
with the plastic bit on the back.
Yeah, people hate them. But it's not made for us.
It looks like the lid of a pram folded down.
Well, it's not made for us. It's part of their Flyies line, which is for disabilities, people with disabilities.
Well, now I feel awful.
Every single person has made that same mistake. It's the same thing with the Jordan with the zip, the Jordan 1 with the zip. It's part of their Flyies line for people that can't tie up the shoelaces.
Yeah, like the function of them is cool.
Yeah.
And I like that they're trying new things.
But they could have done it in a different way. They didn't have to do it with like a bottle opener thing at the back. Like there's no need for that.
Or we could start promoting shoehorns again.
Yeah.
But it's basically,
I know Thomas is a big fan of shoehorns.
You just like step into
I'm not going to comment on that one at the moment.
You're good. Yeah. It's kind of like putting on slippers.
But then I prefer the Huarache. Not the Huarache, the one that they did with the tech one.
Yeah.
I think that's a really good looking shoe.
Yeah.
Never bought it. It's too much money.
You've got that,
did you get it?
I think so, yeah.
Are they comfortable?
The one that
I think
Yeah, I absolutely love them. It's one of my favourite shoes. And like, initially I didn't like the BB...
Oh, the BB Adapt.
BB React.
The BB Adapt. Yeah. I didn't like that at all.
I'm not a massive fan of
the
design shoe
design. The design was bad. Like,
and they did it with the what's it called, didn't they? The Mags, the colourway. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, the Mags, if I could have them, I'd have them, but... I think the Huarache was the best version of it I've seen.
I've just realised on the screen that the camera is literally across my face, but that's fine. It's literally
been
there the whole time.
We pretty much never
use
the middle camera. That's why I got told off before, because I always talk to that one, but
it's
now
intentional.
We only talk to that one.
It's part
right.
of the mystery.
I think we're coming up to about 50 minutes.
It
which
feels
was
like
a,
it.
It was a, really, I felt like it was quite short. But yeah, so we're just going to wrap up quickly.
Okay.
If you wanted to do a quick sign-off, tell the people about where they can catch Sefton, what your personal winter is.
So Sefton, we are actually, as of today, we are changing the release of the Londons to be an in-store release rather than online to stop from bots.
Awesome. Yeah.
So they will be available, I think it's Thursday, I think.
Thursday 19.
The guys who have got the early access to the ones that we're going to announce today, or, well, it's not today,
in the
is
next
it?
10 minutes.
Well, yeah. Is the... they have to also go and collect them in store.
Yep.
There may potentially be something else that we can give away to you guys when you go down there.
Very nice.
But we are on Upper Street 196, and that's in N1. And that's about it.
And at Sefton Fashion?
Oh, at Sefton Fashion. I probably should promote my own one with all my sneakers.
At sneaker_photo.
That's it.
Yeah. At Sneakers John?
Yep, Sneakers JON.
Air Max London.
The guy who made me look like a fool today. And not Leon Avery. Thanks for watching.
Sick. That was dope.